This is the Inferno Podcast, the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place each week to get an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode of the Inferno Podcast is brought to you by the Alabama Department of Public Health and Pearl River Resort. Welcome into the Inferno Podcast. Landrum Roberts, I'm your host. It's episode 31. Warmer weather is here. Spring has sprung. We're going to talk about spring sports. Speaking of spring sports, UAB softball is going to be a part of today's podcast. And today's podcast rundown is brought to you by our friends at Legacy Credit Union, the official credit union of UAB Athletics. Blazers coming off huge weekend win over Tulsa. They take 2 out of 3 from the Golden Hurricane. Head coach Taylor Smart talking about the Blazers and one of her star players. A return trip, Hannah Dorsett's going to join us as well. Not only as a part of the conversation, but also her second stab at the lightning round. You want to stick around for that as well. Also, we will run down the other sports taking place, not only on the South Side, but abroad as the spring sports heat up. All of that and more. It's episode 31. Thanks for being with us here on the Inferno.
Trent Dilfer here, head football coach of the UAB Blazers. I want to tell you about my friends at Legacy Credit Union. Legacy began as University Credit Union in 1955 and remains committed to UAB faculty, students, alumni, and fans. Not only do they support the Birmingham community, but they are also proud sponsors of UAB and UAB Athletics. Visit LegacyCreditUnion.com and find out why you should become a member today.
The Inferno Podcast, Blazer fans, we've made it really, really easy for you. There's a lot of different ways that you can consume this podcast each and every week, and we certainly appreciate you doing that. But you're going to appreciate it because we're going to keep you up to date on everything going on within the athletics program, the Green and Gold. YouTube, it's pretty simple. At Inferno Podcast UAB, like, subscribe, ring the bell, tell your family about it, your friends, your neighbors, spread it around the office. This thing is going to catch fire, literally. Appreciate you joining us there on YouTube. But also Instagram, you can find us Inferno_pod on Twitter, or the X if you prefer, at Inferno_pod_UAB on Facebook. That's kind of the OG, right? UAB Athletics. You can find it there on Facebook. And, of course, you can go to UABSports.com. We got links. We've got all different ways. There is no excuse for you to miss the Inferno Podcast each and every week.
The if in life, it's a world of possibilities. If you go for a night out with friends, if you can keep an eye on your money along the way, if you know you have overdraft protection with no fee transfers from savings, when you get a low balance alert, it's easier to say yes to fun. If that sounds good, try Regions Life Banking.
Stay ready for the if in life. Regions Bank, embrace the if in life.
Welcome back into the Inferno Podcast. Landrum Roberts. Now it is time for our Student Athlete of the Week segment. But first, UAB softball coach Taylor Smart. Coach, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. Hannah Dorsett, utility player, continues to hit more than her weight in average, I would say. You're continuing what you did last season, but hitting 370 here in the early part of the conference season. How are things going?
It's good. I think we're off to a little slower start than we'd like, but we're definitely on the up. And I think once we put some stuff together, we're going to do some really big things.
Well, congratulations on the past weekend, because Tulsa came in. You guys took care of the series. I know that, Coach, you would have wanted the sweep. But what I've noticed through three series in conference play, and once against a ranked FAU team and program you're very familiar with, but you guys have been competitive night in, night out.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I think there's like the Sunday game versus South Florida, and then yesterday we weren't as competitive, but every other game, the other seven, we've been competitive, and in every single one of them to the very end. And, you know, our pitchers have grown a lot. We've competed and we've found ways to win. And this past weekend, I was just really proud to see us continue to fight and be the toughest and the grittiest on Friday and Saturday and come back and win. Because, I mean, against FAU, we had 2 wins. We just didn't secure it at the end.
You got Memphis coming up this weekend on the road, and we'll talk a little bit more about the Tigers. But so far through conference play, 3-6. So, Hannah, a third of the way through the conference slate. What are some noticeable differences you can identify with this team versus maybe where you guys were at this point last season?
I think that last season we just kind of were like rocky the whole entire season, but I think we've seen growth every single weekend, conference weekend, and I think our pitchers have really stepped up. And now it's just to the point where we're like, okay, we got to get our hitters and our pitchers to like step up in the same game. And that's a big difference from last year.
And now it's tournament time, and a lot of people and their focus is on basketball. And when you think about it from the standpoint of softball, baseball, and some of these spring sports that we have, a lot of it is set up like tournament play. Even if it's just a three-game series, you're going Friday, you're going Saturday, you're going Sunday. Is that advantageous for you as a coach to kind of, if you have one of those outings, flushing it because you immediately get a chance to redeem yourself the next day?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, anybody can beat anybody on any given day. And I think that's the thing. I think if you play, like, for instance, the SoCon, they still play doubleheaders. And they started a conference play this past weekend, and I have some people that are friends in that conference, and I made a comment to them that on Saturday they played a doubleheader, and every team that won the first game won the second game. So you don't have as – you don't get – like, you could come back and win, but it's very uncommon. So knowing that we can play 3 days in a row, like, we can flush it and come back the next day and have a chance to compete. Now, the goal, obviously, if you lose a first game of a doubleheader, is to win the second one still. But knowing that we can – right now we're playing one game at a time, and knowing we can come back and flush it is really important.
It's very important to have hitters. And, Hannah, you've continued to do your job at the plate, currently with a 370 average. And also your teammate, Bella Wiggins, hitting at 457. That was not a typo. That's got to be nice. And I know you're not going to say that about yourself, but to have that kind of production, especially from those types of players, Coach.
Oh, it's awesome. And I think they are obviously at the top of our lineup. And when they get on, obviously we click on all cylinders. And ultimately the thing is if they don't get on, how can we still continue to produce and find ways? It's not all on them all the time. But I will say, our lefties have given us a chance to get on base, and our righties just trying to find ways to get them in and move them around.
Hannah, word travels fast. Any difference in how maybe pitchers, opposing pitchers, are approaching you in some of your at-bats?
Yeah, so I think after South Florida a little bit, our lefties probably struggled that series a little bit more with inside. And so obviously with film nowadays, we know we're going to expect to see more inside. Although this past weekend, we didn't really see inside. We saw outside, so our lefties had a lot of success this last weekend. But I think that going into Memphis weekend and any other weekend, the Tulsa's best pitcher had a rise ball, screwball. So we are expecting outside. So I think we're going to still see in and out to try and keep us off
guard. I think I've asked you this before. Rise ball or drop ball, which one would you prefer not to see? No, don't answer that. I guess then the book would be out.
I can't answer it. Yeah. Honestly, I'd rather not see a drop ball. I think I keep my hands up on the low rise balls pretty well, but
sorry, Coach, I'm not trying to set it up in opponent's scouting reports.
This is across the board. It's a lot harder to slap drop balls. Yeah. So like when she sees drop, like she's like, for instance, her walk off hit this past weekend, it was drop and she stood in and she got the single up the middle. But it is tougher to slap that, which does play into her game. So like I said, whenever on Saturday, tied ball game in the seventh inning, two outs, runner at third, and she's up. She stood in and hit and got the single up the middle. But slapping that would have been a little bit tougher.
Anything that you guys have noticed as far as changes, whether it be stuff that's been implemented, umpires, wider strike zones, anything that you would like to report? Because we talked to you prior to the start of the conference season and going into play, and it seems like that whether it's officials in basketball with a block charge and calling things different. I guess in softball you're not getting see you two are smiling. So apparently there has been something. This is family time. Remember, we talk about these things.
Yeah, Dorsey, I called out of the box a couple times, so she had to stand in and hit.
I blame it on one of the Tulsa's parents, though. They were screaming at me.
Get into this. What happened?
So my first day, I had a good day at the plate, and every time I hit the ball, I'm running to first base, and I just hear a woman yelling at me like, she's out of the box, she's out of the box. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Next day, we kind of knew it was coming.
Yeah.
First at bat, I got a hit down the line, out of the box. And I was like, alrighty.
And when you're out of the box, it's a strike. Right. So even though it was a hit, she used to come back. Unless you have two strikes and you're out.
Explain out of the box to our viewers or listeners.
When I slap, I drag my right foot back and then I cross my left foot over. And if anything's out of technically the white line, it's out the box.
But even if it's a toe. Yeah. Even if it's just like a toe. Like, if this is the line and her toes like that, that's considered out of
bounds. I called balls and strikes, but it's really, really tough for a home plate umpire.
Oh, no, no, hold on. So what they do is they wipe the ground before. I have this new theory that we need to just slide into home plate and, like, mess up all the white lines.
I told Aunt before the game Sunday, I said, can you step on, like, the white line a little bit?
What the lady does is the lady, they all do this. They all, like, clean out in front of it.
Why are we not doing this?
No, no, this is what the umpire does.
No, so, I know. So but I like your strategy.
No, I agree. No, we got to score in the first, and then we can, like, we can slide and, like, make the boxes gone. But so she stepped across, and the umpires were literally both times after the play is in, they look down. I'm like, there's no way you can actually call it and see it. Now, at the beginning, I will say when the white line is very, very crisp, I do think it's a little more obvious. Like, if, like, since she's the first hitter of the game, like, if you do step out, it's a little more obvious. But as the game goes, there's so many cleat marks and everything there. It's not
as a former umpire, I say that if the umpire's not paying attention, but the other opposing coach or maybe parents or fan section, they're emphatic that it happened, and umpire knows that he didn't see it. A lot of times, it just depends on time and score.
Yeah, no doubt.
And you might just
yeah. So she hit and she won a ball game. So that's all that matters. She can do both.
So it was a Tulsa parent though.
Well, I asked the umpire the on Sunday whenever he's bat checking. I'm like, so you let that parent talk you into that, huh? He was like, well, on Friday when they kept calling it, obviously I went back and looked, and I was ready for it. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just letting you know only one of the ones you called was she truly out of the box. One of them she was really out of the box. Yeah, we agree with that. One of them we were significantly out of the box. Other than that,
at least you admit it.
No, I was like, there's one that she was, you're not wrong. She was really out of the box.
Coach, I got to ask you this. Opposing team parents, as a coach, you ever had a brush up with one of them?
No, I can't say. No? I think I would just laugh at them. You like, would. I don't really kind of play
into
that.
See, but you get that because your dad, being a coach,
like, okay, you're an idiot.
You understand that, and you kind of just let it go.
Yeah, I just kind of like
I was hoping
smile.
That there would be a story there.
No, I'm pretty calm.
What about you, Hannah? You get a little bit fired up when parents start calling you out for being outside the box?
No, until the umpires start listening to them.
Yeah.
See, that doesn't seem like your nature either. All right, what should we know about the series that's coming up with Memphis this weekend?
I think that we are due to, like, bust it open at some point. It's got to be coming. What I said earlier, the pitchers and the hitters coming together. I think this would be a good series for us to do it 3 games in a row and get more momentum into the rest.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm excited to see us compete again. And that's the one thing is we're getting better each and every game. And so that's the part that on Sunday, obviously, I was a tad bit disappointed in our – we came out and had the bases loaded and then didn't score. And it was like – we were just deflated immediately. And so that was like one of the few times recently that we have acted that way. And so I'll be excited to see us come out this weekend because I think they know how bad that was and how bad they wanted it. And knowing that they have good, like, we are a really good team. And then we just got to start clicking on all cylinders. And, like, our pitchers are getting better as we go. And our offense is too. It's just how can we continue to, like, score? Like, I think we left on Friday, we left 11 on base and we still found a way to win. And then on Sunday, we left 9 on base. And so it's just more continuing to, like, produce when people are on base and not treating one at bat like it's more important than another. And that's the main thing is just because people are on base, I don't have to do anything too big. I just got to put the ball in play and make, you know, give my team a chance. And so, like, I'm excited to see us go play. Memphis, they are doing a lot better this year, and they are competitive. I think you played with one of them, so I'm getting to play against some people. But I'm excited to go see us compete.
You sound pretty convincing. Like it's about that time, right?
It's coming.
All right, I love it. We have the lightning round. You participated in it before. We're going to do this again. Coach, you're going to participate as well.
Oh, okay.
All right, we got fresh questions. Here we go. On the clock. And first question. Hannah, you're going to start us off. Go-to game day snack.
Not a big snacker, whatever we got in the snack bin. Some little oranges, some fruit snacks, whatever we got there.
Some pirate booty or some... Those are always good, right?
Yeah, those are good.
I hope people at home know what I'm talking about. What about you, Coach?
I would say it's sweet tart jelly beans.
Sweet tart jelly beans?
I think I eat them the whole game.
Yeah, the sweet tarts are great, but you go jelly beans.
Yeah, they're only out during Easter time. So, like, I go and buy, like, 15 bags because they only are out during Easter.
What about
Easter?
The chicks, ducks, and bunnies? That's the Easter sweet tarts that I know.
Oh no, these are even better. See, these will change your life. These will change your life. Don't knock it too trash.
No, but you're not OG sweet. That's
I
a do. Whole
like, no, no,
thing,
I
Coach.
Like sweet tarts, but these are a little bit easier on the teeth.
Next, you're gonna tell me you're a big fan of the sweet tart ropes.
Oh no, not a big.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, I do know what you're talking about. I'm not really.
Like, what
a fan.
Are they doing there?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't. I'm not one of them.
Okay, all right. Pre-game ritual.
I like to change it up. Don't do anything the same, really. I will say, fun fact, I wear the same eyeshadow since the junior year of high school. A little shimmery eyeshadow.
Shimmery? What is that?
Like some little sparkles.
Oh, got some. You got some dazzle. Yeah. Okay. I can appreciate that. Never worn it, but...
I can't say that I do something every single time just because sometimes we're on the road, but I like to say it like a good workout before.
Good workout?
Yeah.
That's always good.
Oh, kind definitely an Alani.
Is that an energy drink?
Yeah, Alani, no.
You seem like you don't need caffeine, but...
I don't think those really do anything. I just kind of like the taste.
Like the taste, you don't notice any.
I don't, there's really, there's none.
Are you a coffee drinker?
I'm not, but Dorsett had her one the other day, and I look over there and her leg just is... I'm like, we got to calm down.
She was chapped.
Yeah, I was eating a snack. She's like, what's wrong with you? I was like, I'm jittery.
I got on the game. She's over here eating fruit snacks, and that's not like her. So I was like, what's wrong?
As long as it's not on the list of banned substances.
It wasn't. It was just one of those things that she was a little too jacked for the moment.
Well, that's why she can't stay in the box when she's trying to slap. Yeah, now
we know. It was that day, too.
It was that day. So there we go.
She's all jazzed up on an energy drink. Okay, so pregame ritual, you said eyeshadow, and for you, nothing. You haven't taken me up on the whole thing. Are we still going to do that, maybe? My uniform?
No. Not yet. We're ready. Later. We're ready for that.
Okay.
Definitely not pinstripes. We haven't won in that. We're not wearing it. I'm done with it.
Done with the pinstripes?
Yeah, I'm done with them. We'll have to wear something on pins, but we're 0-for in that, so.
I like that.
Yeah. We're not going to keep setting us up to fail.
No.
Insanity's doing the same thing over and over.
That's good with the pinstripes.
Yeah, we'll eventually pull it back out.
Yeah. And that team will know who they are. Yeah. When you feel really, really good about the series, yeah. And that's when you break on the
100%.
And break out the pinstripes. Hobby that takes up your time outside of softball.
I like to golf and play pickleball.
That's what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm. I like to golf with my dad. Like lessons, take it serious too. Not just like a golf cart girl.
Do y'all ride around on the cart or do you walk?
Oh, we ride around. Okay. The walking's too much, but.
Well, it depends on where you play.
Yeah, depends. I'd say golf, too.
Golf?
Yeah.
I like golf, too. All right.
Let's go play.
If you had to watch a TV show or a movie for the rest of the year, what would it be?
You know what mine would be. The Bachelor, any little series like that.
That's right. I do remember that. You like The Bachelor.
I don't really sit still long enough to watch things.
No, not you.
So it'd have to be something really, really entertaining. Probably like Love Island or something like that.
Love Island?
Isn't that crazy? Like there's a lot of drama, so it'd have to be something to keep me entertained.
I think most of those shows, yeah, they definitely.
Like something's got to keep me entertained.
All right, weekend series or doubleheader?
Weekend series.
Sometimes I won't lie. I feel like a lot of athletes wish they could say doubleheader just because you have to warm up less.
That is true. Less dinos.
Yeah.
Favorite sporting event to watch, and it doesn't have to be one singular event, but Super Bowl, March Madness, Masters.
Women's College World Series.
I wasn't going to be in it. That's a given.
Yeah.
I love watching the Women's College World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, the ratings so reflect that everybody else does too.
That's not an answer.
That cannot be an answer.
Okay. I'd probably have to say March Madness just because, you know, anybody can beat anybody and, you know, just watching them compete and getting excited. And then I won't lie, the post-game interviews when teams lose and they're all sobbing, I think I sob more during that than anything. Like, I'll cry with them because they're all emotional and getting their feels.
Okay. I thought you were totally going to go the different direction there.
No, I'm saying, like, I feel for them. Like, I feel those moments. And, like, they put so much into it. And then, obviously, like, there's so much hanging on it. It's the last game and... it's just they're very vulnerable and they're very, you know, honest and there's so much built into it. It's just kind of one of those things.
I love the cutaways of the moms.
Yeah.
Of the moms of the families.
Yeah.
Or the guy who maybe he's got his son that's watching in the stands. And we had an example of that. But yeah, I love the cutaways and the moms where they're all dazzled up.
Yeah.
Well, I think gear I saw that they're wearing.
Yesterday I saw the one where, I might mess this up. I think it was Texas A&M coach. And, like, one of his players was pretty much talking about how, like, he changed his life and all that. And so it's just, like, little moments like that just kind of, like, make you tear up, you know?
I'm a softie for those kind of stories. Yeah. What about you?
I'm going to go with the Super Bowl for Super the Bowl. Halftime show.
Halftime show. At least you're honest.
Yeah.
Favorite softball memory?
Probably, I'd say my senior year of high school, winning the state championship, just because... We lost, I think, 10 seniors the year before, and so like it was one of those things that nobody thought we could do it, and then we did.
I'd have to say whenever I was at Troy and we got an at-large bid, just knowing that I played there and we'd pretty much grown the program to get back into, you know, get an at-large bid and get into the NCAA tournament.
Favorite sports movie?
The Sandlot. That's a good one.
Okay, Sandlot.
I'd probably have to say For the Love of the Game.
Okay.
You know that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I know them all.
Clear the Mechanism. Sometimes I feel like I have to say that.
To each their own. Hannah, if you didn't play softball, what other sport do you think you would play besides flag football?
Honestly, I tried basketball and volleyball, but I think I could be a soccer player. I don't really know why. I enjoy running.
With a hand eye, I think pickleball.
Yeah, if that was, yeah, if that was an option,
they got, you got courts popping up everywhere. Oh, pickleball yeah. courts.
So true.
Trustful has like 10 indoor ones.
Yeah. If we're going to play golf, let's go play pickleball. Coach, you play pickleball?
Yeah, I play pickleball. Yeah. We had a pickleball tournament. Hannah didn't win, though.
I lost the first round.
Oh, Hannah.
And I told the whole team, I was like, put me in the like to win the bracket. Trust
For somebody
me,
who has
I'm
trouble, though, staying inside the box, you know, the kitchen, that's that little box area near the net. You know the rules yeah. about the kitchen, right?
Oh, yeah.
Coach, what about you?
Definitely be golf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely golf.
It's springtime. Spring is sprung.
Oh, no,
I'm wearing my spring colors. Y'all are all bundled up like we're playing up in Fargo.
I've never been to Fargo, though.
I neither. I bet it stings when their softball players
hit.
Oh,
no. I don't like the cold.
All right.
I think our players know that.
Hey, congratulations. Let's keep it going. Let's win another series at Memphis. Hannah Dorsett, thanks.
Thank you.
Coach, you going to hang out?
I am.
All right, more with UAB softball coach Taylor Smart. The Inferno podcast continues. Welcome back into the Inferno podcast. It's time for the Coach's Corner. UAB head softball coach Taylor Smart continues to join us in the Coach's Corner each and every week, brought to you by our friends at Pepsi and Viva Health. We talked about it a little bit, Coach, when Hannah Dorsett, one of your star players, was sitting in with us. But the start of the conference season, now that we're three series in, got a big weekend series coming up versus Memphis. Plenty of schedule left. But so far through conference play, some of the things that you like that you're seeing from your team?
Yeah, I mean, I think our team is continuing to like fight and be gritty. And like I said, I know obviously we're 3-6, but of the 9 games, there was 2 that I didn't think we were very competitive in. And the other 7, we've fought and competed to the very end. And that's the piece that we've continued to get better and better each week. And that's the goal is how can we continue to be better and by the end of the year be playing our best softball? And so seeing us continue to evolve and get better at the little things. And our team can actually tell it's getting better, and that's the part that, as a coach, I'm excited.
Your competitive spirit, it oozes. Anyone who has met you and anybody who wears the green and gold supports UAB Athletics, I would invite them just to have a conversation with you because she will get you fired up in a short amount of time. We were at an event just a few weeks ago, and this is before you got hot and heavy into the conference
right.
season. But I asked you, it was a simple question. It wasn't a surface-level question, but I was genuinely curious how are things going because we had talked right before the start of the season. Mm-hmm. And you got really fired up, and it was about how your team was competing.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody hates to lose, but there are certain things that are prerequisites you've got to have and certain things that you just cannot tolerate because you're a competitor yourself.
Right.
Walk us through some of those things that you were seeing and that you wanted to address and meet head on.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing was that on the mound, we weren't competing and it was more like we were hoping we were going to win or it was so close. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh gosh, I lost it. And it's like, we didn't just lose it. Like you have it, it's there, but our ability to compete and move pitch to pitch. And that's the part that it goes in phases. And as we've gotten better, we've gotten better at that, but expecting to win and knowing we can win versus hoping that it's going to happen and just like hoping something bad doesn't happen. And so at the end, I'm always like, we've got to know that we are going to win. We are going to make the play. And when they hit the ball, someone's going to go make the play. Or when we throw this pitch, someone behind me is going to make the play. And then I think the other piece that I was talking about was at the time was our pitchers were like nibbling at the corners, hoping that they would get like a called strike. And I'm like, attack the zone. Spin it through the middle of the zone and make them hit it. Because at the end of the day, no one's just going to, like, walk past us and expect just to lose or win. And then they want to compete. It's not just going to be handed to them. So how can we attack the zone and make them swing the bat to then allow us to make plays and get you out of things?
When you realize your team coach is on the cusp and you can see it, you can almost taste it,
mm-hmm.
But they're right there, and there's these critical points of a game, and if you just put it all together, then that aha moment, that light bulb with some of your players moment, and that's what Coach is talking about. I get it. But getting up to that point, that can be such a challenge. And for a lot of folks, they'll throw in the towel before they get to that mountaintop. As a coach and your message, the consistency of your message to your team, do you ever find yourself going, you know, I just said that. Let me change the message a little bit. How does that go?
Yeah, you have to do that a lot. Coaching, they get – I always joke that you have to find a different way to say the same thing almost every week. Just to keep them engaged. But no, that was our message for a while. I mean, it continues to be. It is knowing that you're right there, and it's not continuing to beat them down in that moment, because at the end of the day, they know they're so close and they didn't do it. So the more you beat them down in that moment, the more they're going to give up or possibly throw in the towel. And that's the last thing you want. And so knowing we were so close, it's instilling and reassuring that confidence that we can do it and we are going to do it. And I tell them all the time, we speak in absolutes. It's not a hope or no. It's like, I know I'm going to do whatever it is. We will do whatever it is. Because in the day, like, when you're that close, it comes down to knowing you're going to get it done and knowing the person next to you is going to get it done.
Anything that's been a particular challenge, maybe more so than you thought, I realize what you do is a challenge. And all coaches across America, what they do is a challenge. But anything that, just from being immersed in it now, and leading a program, and I realize that you have been one of the leaders of programs before, but has it dawned on you, man, that's maybe a little bit tougher than I thought it'd be? Or, golly, we navigated that a lot easier than I thought we would.
Yeah, I think that just continuing to get everyone to continue to buy in on things, like when it is my first year, and you walk into it kind of in a late situation, and finding ways to keep everyone on board, and knowing we can win whenever they did not win a lot in the past. And so it's like keeping everyone knowing, like, we are this close, we are going to do it. I think that would probably be the part that
where you can see it. Just sometimes people are just paying attention to results.
A lot better. Like, as you get older, you can see big picture. I think some of that my dad instilled in me at a young age. It's not just about this, and this. It's like, how can you see big picture? But in the moment, to an 18 to 22-year-old, it is hard to see big picture. They look at it as, I went 0-for-3 and we lost. Or I gave up 4 runs and we lost. It's like, okay, did I have better at bats? Did I compete? Did I compete in the strike zone, or did I walk people? Was I scared and nervous, or was I at least pursue to my team that I was in a confident, more better headspace? Like, those are the things that I can see. And I think I tell them all the time, it's obvious to the naked eye when they look like they're in a compete mode and when they look like they're scared. And I always tell them, scared money don't make money. So we're going to put the big dollar bills in and we're going to keep paying up. But at the end of the day, we have to at least know we're going to do that and look confident versus just hoping it's going to get done.
And one of the many payoffs for you as a coach, as a teacher, because that's what you're 100%. Doing, you're totally an educator, is those aha moments when the light bulb does go off and then you see the personal growth. 100%. And some of the tracks of some of your players, right?
Yeah, no doubt. And I actually had a conversation with Bella Wiggins about this when we played Mississippi State on Wednesday. And
she's hitting .457.
Yeah, she is.
You're not changing her stroke at all.
Oh,
right?
No, we're not doing anything like that. She got a single in the seventh, and we were getting beat. I think it was 7-2. And they tried to pick her off, and she dove back in when she didn't call time, and she got called out because they reviewed it. And technically, when she went to put her foot back on the base, she was off the base, out. And she was fuming, which I love that because she's a competitor. And I was like, that didn't lose the ball game for us. There's 2 outs in the seventh, that didn't lose the ball game for us. I was like, but you were competitive at the plate, and had you been competitive the last weekend? No, you were late because you are unsure of what you want. And naturally, a lot of times timing comes back to, are you in go mode and wanting to hit it, or are you just continuously late? I was like, you were a lot more aggressive at the plate, knew what you wanted. I was like, so you got on base, like all these things. And I was like, and then in the end, like, for instance, in the previous weekend against FAU, like, she was like, I was like, everyone was hoping we were going to get it done instead of just like knowing we're going to get it done. And so, like, she was like, I know and I can see that we are going to get it done. And so, like, whenever someone like that's on the field can say those things, like, you know it's coming. And I think some of it is also like the older, more experienced players, like Abella, she's obviously got 2 more years on Hannah. Like, them knowing it's going to happen, it's going to, you know, kind of ooze out on your team a little bit more than when the younger players all want it, because they can all say it and all. At the end of the day, the person's the more experienced people on the team, on the field at the time, those are the ones that really, whenever they feel it and know it's going to happen, it exudes all over the team.
With three-game series in conference play, is your message to your team, let's just take two out of every three?
No.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, you want to win.
Because
I've
heard that from coaches, but I can see it from the other standpoint where it's like, no, let's not ever acknowledge that we're just going to take two out of three.
No, I mean, I think at the end of the day, like, we are trying to make up a little bit of ground, right? So, we were, what, 3-5 going into that game. So, at the end of the day, you win that ball game, you're 4-5. It looks a lot better than 3-6 in that moment. So, to me, no. I mean, at the end of the day, yes, you want to win every series. And there's 9, and we already lost 2 of them. So, yeah, we want to win the next 7. Yes. But ideally, we would like to sweep some.
Well, sweep this weekend would make you 6-6.
100%.
That looks great.
I'm all in. I'm all in. I love me too.
Right?
Yeah, no doubt. I love it. I love even numbers. They know that. I like when things are even and we can make easy hitting groups, stuff like that. Like, I love
how many conference games we had? 27?
27. Yeah, there's 10 teams. Right, so
there will be no symmetry there.
No. There won't be.
Okay.
Very aware of that.
Yeah. Well, I know you are.
I was just
telling myself, there's just no way to make that symmetrical. Not.
Yeah, unless I guess the game gets rained out. But
anything you need from us, Green and Gold Nation, make your play.
The support, come watch us play. We're a lot of fun to watch.
Rolling back. I'm kidding. That's a joke. That's inside softball stuff.
Yeah.
Coach, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Taylor Smart, UAB head softball coach. The Inferno continues.
As UAB athletes, there's nothing we like more than the Lord of Pride.
Around here, we say we win as one.
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 And to keep cheering for the green and gold,
there's one thing we need from you.
Ask your doctor about an RSV vaccine.
And help protect everyone.
Our littlest Blazers and our most seasoned fans are most at risk from RSV.
Ask about your RSV vaccine today.
So we can all stay in the game.
And win as one.
It is time for the weekly update here on the Inferno podcast. Our weekly update is brought to you by the Alabama Department of Public Health to help protect all UAB fans. Ask your doctor about your RSV vaccine today so we can all win as one. We just talked to UAB head softball coach Taylor Smart and Hannah Dorsett about a weekend series as they travel to Memphis coming up on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Those game times and start times, first pitch times, TBA, so check your local listings, check UABSports.com for the latest information. Casey Dunn and the baseball team, unfortunately, they dropped 2 out of 3 in their opening conference series to USF, but the great news, they got a chance to redeem themselves as they'll take on a good Wichita State Shockers program coming up this weekend up in Wichita. Friday, first pitch is scheduled for 6, Saturday at 2, and then Sunday at 1 p.m. Women's track, UAB spring invite at the UAB track and field facility coming up this weekend, Friday and Saturday to be exact there. Beach volleyball national championships just around the corner. They're going to be taking place in Gulf Shores, Alabama once again as UAB being that host site school. But this weekend they're in Tempe. Speaking of spring, it's always spring in Tempe, Arizona, isn't it? UAB beach volleyball taking on UW Washington on Friday at 2 p.m. Arizona State at 4 p.m. Then on Saturday, they'll take on UTEP at 9 a.m. and then Grand Canyon at 11 a.m. as they play there in Phoenix. Bowling, that season continues. It's a season that just keeps on giving as they take on Western Kentucky coming up Saturday at 1 p.m. That is your weekly rundown for all your comprehensive information, up-to-date scheduling, start times, and so much more. Visit UABSports.com. This is the Inferno Podcast, the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place each week to get an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode of the Inferno Podcast is brought to you by the Alabama Department of Public Health and Pearl River Resort.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.